mobile.
74 DJW in the garage.
Afternoon, Dave. How's the day going?
I think I'm tearing up more than I'm fixing.
What kind of project you working on today?
I was the takeoff has been sitting for the best I can get, recollect, in 9 years. And really got worried about the injectors, sucking powder down in the injectors. So I took the injectors off and ordered some others. Decided, you know, it's going to take a few days for the parts to come in. Also got an injector cleaner, so I was going to switch over and work on the Cub Cadet two-wheel tractor, because I'm going to sell that and a pressure washer. I'm going to sell it too, one of the two pressure washers. I got one pressure washer working, and just about everything I do to Cub Cadet to get it running again, I break. The last thing was that thing that goes between that spacer between the carburetor and the crankcase. Just popped it. Before that, it was the rope, the starter rope. I pulled it right off of the starter. One thing after another. I might be done for the day. I don't know. Your day was better than mine.
Sounds like you got your hands full there. Sounds like you've been busy. Yeah, I had a decent day. I would call it an adequate day. And I had been looking for you, and because I thought you might be the person to talk to, and I was going to talk about FT8. I thought maybe you'd know a little bit about FT8.
Digital modes for a while. I had this station set up with antenna multiplexers. One antenna could serve 16 radios, and I was using software-defined radios. That was a lot of fun. I was doing a bunch of multiplex people all over the world. I did that for about 3 or 4 years. I couldn't transmit while I was doing that because I would break the multiplexer and so sensitive. But also, if you use digital mode CW, because you can copy those and decode them and see what they are. Phone mode, not so much, but the WSPR, the whisper signals, the JG65 back in those days, the PSK signals, and FT, it was before FT8, there was a FT something before FT8. But, all those modes are pretty much the same thing. It's just modulated, or controlled modulated noise for different times and different durations. What's the question on them?
Specific question, but I'm considering dipping my toe into it, so I thought I would try and find somebody who had some experience, and I felt like you did. I remember, oh man, it's been probably 10 years ago, I remember hearing you on this repeater talking a lot about whisper. I forget the gentleman's name, and I forget his call sign, but it seems like during my commute home back probably, it's probably about 10 or 11 years ago, you guys used to chat a lot on the commute about whisper. I wish I could remember his call sign.
KJ4YQK, would it? David?
Yeah, that sounds about right. But I remember many times you guys chatting about it. So I've got an HF radio. I've got a computer, and just recently installed a WSJTX application. And so now I think I need some. So it's an older radio. It's a Yaesu 897. So I think I'll need an external sound card or something. I guess to establish the connection between the PC and the radio. So I guess I'm very green, so I'm very curious.
Same radio, and just about every radio I've got that does HF, I've done digital modes on, and modulated CW and break-in CW mode. Break-in is where you actually turn the transmitter on and off. And modulated is, you got a tone that's going all the time. You just
condense the tone or you don't. Right? Tone, just interrupting the tone is really simple. Modulated CW is hard on the hardware, especially when you get up to higher speeds. But that same radio I did, and I remember it distinctly, I got that one working. And the reason I remember it so well is because it has a setting in there that is, it doesn't really say that it's for digital mode. I mean, it kind of does. But if you don't turn that one setting on in that one menu item, which I was pulling my hair out for like 3 days to find it, if you don't turn that on, it isn't going to work. You can send modulated FT8, JT65, PSK, Brady, whatever, it doesn't matter, they're all the same. And you can send them all, any of them, and it won't work on that particular radio unless you go to that one menu item and set it to either digital or I can't remember what the other form of it was. But once I went and did that, after about 4 or 5 days of pulling my hair out, it worked like a charm. And the interface that I use, you can use several different kind of interfaces. It's got a data plug in the back, and you can send audio to it through a modem that's on your computer, or you can use something like a signal link. And that signal link will do, you know, all of the work sending it to it. There's like six different ways you can get audio into the radio and out on your antenna.
Yes. I have to consider that setting and probably try and find it. So did you use a signal link? I've seen those and done a little research and watched a few videos about them. But I've also looked at the DigiRig. I don't know if you've had any experience with the DigiRig.
DigiRig, I think you went through a couple of those DigiRigs. I think they're pretty good. I just don't know how robust they are. I haven't used one, but he did. And he had good luck with it. Up to a point, and I don't know what caused, but he was doing a whole lot of transmission. I think he was doing some high power too. And I think he broke a DigiRig or two. His call is KI4THD. If you hear him on here, he can give you more information on that one. But I think it's pretty easy. But the signal link, yeah, I used it, and I did it with direct audio into the data port. And either way, they all work pretty much. One is as good as the other.
Gotcha. I'm curious because you explained your configuration a minute ago, and you had a multiplexer. But I think you said, well, I don't remember the exact number you said, but it sounded like it was in excess of 10 antennas. I'm curious about that multiplexer. Did you have bands split with that multiplexer or frequencies on the same band split?
Magic. A guy down in Georgia, or either Georgia or Alabama, might be Alabama, makes that. It's called a Strikeberg multiplexer. If you go to my QRZ page, it'll show you the layout that I had set up. I had two antennas, one running east-west, and another one running north-south. One running east-west could get Argentina and over the pole into Russia, and the one running north-south could go to Japan or Europe. And so that's pretty much how the four quadrants covered. And those two antennas, one was a mystery antenna, one was a super loop. And then each one of them ran into a Strikeberg multiplexer. You put one antenna in the front, in the top, and it does have some special chips in it that will allow you to elevate the signal so that you can send it out. One of them sends it out to 8 different radios, software-defined radios. The other one that I got sends it out to 4 different software-defined radios. And those radios are listening on whatever band you want to send it to, because it's listen-only. It's not a no transmit. When you're doing this, if you transmit, I made the mistake and transmitted one time, and I had to write the guy that makes that, and I told him I busted one of the op-amps in there because I transmitted. He said, I know. And he sent me a fistful of them. He said, you'll probably do it again, so here's some extra. But it tells you the name of it and the model number on my QRZ page if you want to go look it up. The thing is really, that's magic.
Magical. Now I recognize what you said. Two antennas with, over 10 radios. That does sound magical. I mean, I've seen duplexers and, you know, most of the time you find them, or maybe triplexers between HF and VHF and UHF. And I've, at at work, I've seen some, you know, more, I guess, specific duplexers that will get really close on a frequency range, but a multiplexer across that range, that does sound magical.
Yeah, I'm doing all that again, but it's a real big sacrifice because shutting all of that down, I did happen on some antenna switches too. It was sensitive enough that if I was transmitting in my ear, not to do VHF, UHF transmissions without any problem. I just couldn't do HF transmissions. But it's a commitment to getting all that set up because now you can't stop running HF anymore. You can't even do digital modes on HF or CW or anything. So after about 4 or 5 years, I quit doing that. Somebody's knocking at the door, give me a minute, W4DJW.
WB4ZPH.
So, how far from me do you live? Or you're in Greer, right? Or Taylor's?
He's in Bovity's land. Bovity's lands.
I'm in Taylor's. I don't think I'm very far from you at all. I think I looked at UQRZ page once and got a general idea on location, but the address is Taylor's, but I'm in a little neighborhood that's maybe a minute's drive from the boat ramp at Lake Robinson.
Because I can 5 minutes, I can be at Lake Robinson, so we're pretty close. If you're ever working on it, you need some help, I can probably come help guide you through it if you need it help.
That's very nice of you.
Dave, how locked in does the transceiver get? So that 897, if I set it up for digital, am I kind of locked in there, or is it fairly easy to move back to sideband? I mean, it's an all mode radio. Did you ever try switching back and forth between modes?
Menu driven.
There's a mode button, I think it's on the front, there's a mode button that you can just go toggle through the modes and you just go back up. And so if you're on 20 or lower, you go to lower sideband. If you're on 20 or above, you go to upper sideband. But that's the thing, when you go into digital modes, it's got its own mode. It's not upper sideband or lower sideband like other radios. It's got its own, I can't remember the name of binary or something like that. And if you don't select that one, even if you select upper sideband or lower sideband like other radios do, it won't work. They should work, but it won't. You have to select the one that they give you, and I forget what they call it. But it's just a button push, right? Well, it's the VFO to tune you there, and a button push to select the mode, and you can pick up your mic and talk to somebody.
Okay, I didn't think it would be anything that kind of would restrict me much from moving between modes, but I sometimes try to do sideband. I'm in a pretty compromised location. I'm in a little HOA neighborhood, so it's difficult for me to get a really effective antenna. I don't have any trees in my piece of the property there, so I've had to get a little bit ingenuitive with HF antennas. I've got a little MFJ mag loop antenna, and it works. It's not super effective, but it works. And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of difficult to make sideband contacts with it of any distance. So I thought maybe I'd try the digital modes and see if I did any better there.
That's a practice carburetor room that's full of crud. I think I'll just find some noise. You can put, I don't know if you've looked at them, I don't know how big your attic is, but one of the things I did before I got bold enough to put an antenna up in the backyard and hope that HOA didn't complain about it was I put double bazookas in the attic. In the higher part of the HF antenna, say 10, 15, 17, 12 meters, they're not that long. You
it gets down to 20 meters or 40 meters, they get pretty long. You can't that long out. But there's other bands you can put a double bazooka in that, and they do pretty good. And nobody can see that, nobody can complain about it.
I know what you're talking about. In my attic, it is long enough to accommodate a 20 meter double bazooka. I've got one in my attic, and I've tried it, and I have issues with it. I've got some source of RFI, either in the neighborhood or in the home, and I put the mag loop up in the attic, and it kind of nulls out some of the noise in the center. The center of the loop will help to null it out a little bit. But when I switch over to the double bazooka that I have stretched across the attic, it's like a S8 noise level on 20 meters, and it really just kind of, it ends all the fun on sideband for me.
That the radio is susceptible to, poor signal reception. It's more than I knew before. I have played with it a little bit, so if I turn the preamp off, it helps. But if I control with the RF gain, I can work around it a little bit. But it is challenging with that radio and the noise level.
Try not to bash Yaesu because of their fault. Maybe it's just my radio, but I hear other people that have a problem with that too. I mean, it's not really a problem. You can work in digital modes. Digital modes can overlook that. It's easy for digital modes to break through that and hear it and decode it and transmit's not an issue at all. But when somebody's really down in the noise floor on HF, or if there's a pile-up and you're trying to get through to the pile-up, that's the only time that comes in to be a problem. If somebody's loud and boisterous on HF, that isn't an issue at all.
Yep, that's been my experience exactly. Well, Dave, I've got to stop here. I got to jump out for a few minutes. I may be back around. Thanks for all the info. Appreciate that, and appreciate the offer to help out. I'll catch you on here a little bit later, I'm sure. W4DJW from WB4ZBH 73.
4DJW, anytime. And I try to keep the radio listening, so if you throw my call up line out there and you're pulling your hair out, high probability I'll hear it. That close, I wouldn't mind running up there. I might bring one of my radios up there so that we can just put one of mine on it and put yours on it and see if it's a radio issue or if it's something else. But anyway, take care. Enjoy the rest of the evening. Enjoy the queue, so W4DJW, clear.
4DJW, W4SBX.
Steve, is that you?
4SBX. Simpsonville.
And I know his first letter in his subject is an S. Anyway, Brad, how you doing?
Okay, I just installed a new radio in my car today, a Striker. I wanted to upgrade my 11 meter, and it also has 10. But I really wanted to ask you a question, though, about testing. I guess you're a member of the Brewers Club.
I'm not a DE, but maybe I can answer your question. Go ahead.
Hey, Roger that. No, I was just wondering how often they test or when is the next testing session, because I'm getting close to ready to take the test for extra, and I wanted to know when they do it.
Third Saturday of every month. Really easy to remember. Third Saturday of every month. You can verify that, or, you know, it might not be a bad idea to go to bars.cc, the website, and they'll tell you the same thing. But I'm pretty sure it's the third Saturday of every month, and I think they want you to be there around 8 or between 8 and 9. And I think if there is a fee now, and you do have, I remember them saying you have to bring, you have to have an FRN number, or they can't work with you. So you want to create your FRN number with the SEC site first. You probably already have one. And there is a fee, but I don't know what it is. And it is between 8 and 9 o'clock. I think they get started the third Saturday of the month.
Roger that. That sounds right. I got my license in New Hampshire while I was out there traveling, but that sounds familiar. Is that at the Red Cross building?
Woody Grove Road, I think it is. That's listed there on the website as well, but yes, that is Grove Road.
Okay, I know where that, well, I mean, I know how to find that, but I wasn't sure if they tested at the same place or not, but yeah, I just pulled up that website, but I might not have known how to look that up. I was trying to find it, but I've seen everything else but what I was looking for. But yeah, that's good information. I appreciate it. I'm going to probably try to take it next month, I guess.
One of the VEs that helps out with the testing up there is Gary, KF4DOS, who does the Wednesday night swap net. So if you hear him on here and you just want some further confirmation, you can't find it on the website, then he's the guy. He's the guy to talk to.
Can you tell me his name or call sign again? I didn't catch the person.
His sign is Kilo India 4. Delta Oscar Sierra. Kilo India 4, Delta Oscar Sierra. KI4DOS, Gary.
Oh, okay. Okay, sounds good. You know, actually, I'm just a general now, but I've got the books, and I want to take the test for a VE, you know, to be a VE, but I don't know if I should wait until I get my extra.
I hear them talking about that, and I don't think you have to. I think you can be a general, and you can be a VE. There's no issue with that.
Yeah, what it is a general, like me being a general, I could only test technician. I couldn't do extra or nothing else like that. So I think the VEC would rather have somebody that can test everybody. So I don't even know if a general can test a general. I think it's the next class down, but I ain't positive about that. But I mainly right now my concentration is getting the extra, and then I'll work on something else.
I know, I was really nervous about it when I took mine, but you study hard, it'll be a breeze.
Yeah, I appreciate that. W4SBX for ID, but when I was up, I was studying, I got two different books for it, and I was about to take the test before I left New Hampshire, and I would get like 84%, and then I'd retake my missed questions and get like 94%, but the day before I went to go test, because I, you know, it was like real close to me, and I had an Uber ride lined up and everything, but I took the test again before I went to sleep the day before, and I got like a 60, so I said, oh man, I better hold off a minute.
Just pay for the testing fee, but I might be wrong about that. But
Gary, I do appreciate your information there, and I've got the books for the VE, but I'll have to look on their website and see if I need to do any further registration for the VE exam.
Keeps keying up the repeater, do his thing, but anyway, the ARRL VE testing to be ARRL VE is an open book test. You'll take it online and you'll fill it out and send it in, you submit it, and then they'll send you your accreditation, your little card and all of that. When I got mine, it did not cost anything. Now, I don't know if they put a cost on that or not. You'd have to do some research on that. But that is through the ARRL, and I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does, Gary. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to get on the side here a minute. I've got to run in the house. I'm out here on a mobile waiting on my brother-in-law. He's a ham, too. He's been a ham since 1976. But anyway, if I can't do it this month, I'll just plan on, the third Saturday of March. But Gary, I do appreciate it. I think your call sign was KI4DOS. Correct me if I'm wrong.
The call sign is KI4DOS. That's Donkey on Skates. That's not the correct one I like to use. That way people can remember it a little easier. Call it Disk Operating System. Actually the correct phonetics. But good to talk to you this afternoon, Brad. And Dave, sorry I took over the conversation. I just wanted to jump in there and give him a little bit more information. Appreciate all the information you gave him. It was all correct. And with the exception of the time, you know, we asked the people to be there at 9 o'clock and because give us a minute to get the table set up, the chairs set up, and that sort of thing. And then they'll come in and fill out their paperwork, and then we'll go from there. But, Brad, good hearing you this afternoon. Good talking with you. And 7-3, my friend. KI4DOS. Go ahead and pick it up there, Dave.
Appreciate you jumping in there, helping out, because I wasn't 100% sure. I listen to it all the time when people ask you, and I should know it by heart, but I don't say it often enough. That answer. And, Brad, good luck with the test, whatever you decide to take it. And Gary, thanks again for jumping in there. W4DJW.
W4SBX, I appreciate both of your help and information. And so I'm going to be clear for now, W4DJW and KI4DOS. Appreciate it, 73, both of you. And we'll talk again soon, I hope. 73, W4SBX, clear.
That phone call real quick. Think you better mean it?
No.
Give me a minute before you ring it because it's upstairs and I'm in the garage. 74DJW clear.
Okay, buddy. I'll give you a minute. And sound like we got a couple more morons on here that don't know how to throw their call signs out. They just key the mic and start talking. I'll talk to you on the phone in just a minute or two. W4DJW, KI4DOS Mobile.